Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and mum to two feral boys. Join us as I welcome a different mum every episode from the world of comedy, as we give no judgment, no filter, but all the laughs on this crazy ride of parenting, work, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
And welcome to this slightly different intro to the podcast. I'm Hattie Ashdown. I host Funny Mummies, and today's show is co-hosted by Gemma Beagley. It's slightly different because we did do a pre-record after the show of an intro, but somebody forgot to press record. But all you need to know is joining us on today's show is a regular favourite to the show. She's a writer, stand-up, podcaster. You will have seen her on shows like Mop the Week, Comedy Central, Radio 4 News Quiz, Loose End, and her BBC podcast, DMs Are Open. She can also reseal a bath. Please welcome mum of two, Athena Cablenu.
Everyone's like, oh, you've got kids, oh my God, you're so stressed out. But like, you can be stressed without kids. Like, it's life is stressful, you know, and you get that. I get an outpouring of everyone's like, oh, you've got kids, you're so stressed. Like, no, I'm not stressed. They're literally the stress relievers. They're hilarious.
It's, do you remember, I think it was this Mother's Day, actually, there was a woman who works in comedy, and she doesn't have children. And she was saying, I don't know if she said it, I feel like she did say it publicly. She wouldn't have said it to me privately. But, happy Mother's Day to all the super mums out there who are holding down a job and running a house and getting the kids to school and blah, 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 blah. And she was a bit like, well, I work hard too, you know. And it's just like, you know, everyone's going to, you know, I'm a superwoman as well, or a super person or whatever, because I'm running a business and working really hard. And it's just we don't have the monopoly over stress or busyness, do we?
I think it's good to celebrate like what we do as parents, but I also think it's also good to celebrate like what other people do, and also to empathize with the fact that they might, you know, this life that we complain so much about, they would do anything for this life. You know, and I think sometimes like there's the narrative of children, it's like, yeah, but some people would kill for that privilege, you know. So, and I think it's also good as a parent to reframe all of the effort as a privilege, because it, you know, it's otherwise you'll never enjoy it, you know. They're so naughty, but it's still a privilege, even when they're pissing themselves in the car and God knows what else. That's what my daughter did yesterday. So.
This is why I love having you on, Athena, because you're always, I think you're always so positive about having children, which sounds like a mad thing to say, but I think there's a fashion at the moment, particularly on social media, I think, to be like, oh, kids are so hard and da 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 da, and we all love watching those, you know, real, some of them are really funny and relatable, but then I think too much of it, like anything in life, you start to tell yourself, oh God, yeah, it's really awful, isn't it? And I think, yeah, you need to turn it round and sort of go and be like, actually, I am really lucky. But going back to what you said, I've got both sides. I've got friends that sadly tried and tried, couldn't have kids, and you know, I've had with both sets of the couple, actually, the man is my friend, and he's more open about talking about it. But she's not. She's kind of like, that's not happened, move on. As far as I can see, probably not like that in her head, I'm sure. But we have chats about what it's like dealing with, because he says, I've got to an age now, because now he's coming up for 50, where people just assume I've got kids. So he's like, when he's like, oh, you know, the bank holiday, oh, what are you doing with the kids this weekend? You know, it's that sort of thing with work. And he's like, no, I haven't got kids. And then people go, oh, well, there's still time. And people always like to say that, like, he's like, well, no, there isn't. And actually, we categorically cannot. It's like a mirror. It would be a medical miracle. And he said, oh, I've got lines now that do just slam people quite quiet. And I think it's just a lesson there, isn't it, to everyone? Just keep your bloody mouth shut. Like, don't assume everyone's got kids. But And same on the flip side, I've got a friend that I've been talking to a lot recently about this because she works in comedy and she doesn't want kids. But because of the way society is set up, she said, especially around, funny enough, around Mother's Day, there was like those pangs of like, am I going to regret it when I'm a bit older? And that thing of being like, yeah, I work really hard as well and I'm stressed out. And I have a lot, you know, I deserve praise as well just for, you know, what I do. But do you think some of it is because of the way we've changed things with women working and having kids? It's like, this is where we've come to now. So now we're like, we're trying to have it all, which I hate that expression. And so it's really hard. So that's why.
I actually think it's something more simple than that. So we're in an attention economy, and the narratives that prevail are the ones that grab people's attention. So, you know, you have a podcast, I have a parenting podcast, you know, lots of very established community parenting podcasts, and they tend to be about the, oh my God, these kids. And that's
wacky.
Fine.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fine, yeah. Of course, but it does dominate the narrative. And I think if you don't have children, you the ether is full of kind of just parents having a bit of a moan. And I guess I'm conscious of that because I personally think my life would be harder without children. Personally, it's just my opinion.
Mm.
Partly because I've got the privilege, I can afford childcare. Okay, Monday to Thursday, I don't have to deal with them in the day. I have sitters, I'm with my partner, I've got a brother and my mum. So obviously there are things that I cannot do with them. But generally speaking, like, you know, like I'm able to have an income and look after my children. If I didn't have children, like I can't imagine the hours I'd be working. I can't say the hours, I was easily doing 60 hour weeks before children because I was doing my day job and my comedy job and I had no incentive to stop. Because I live in London and I like security and I was doing well in my day job and I was doing okay in my comedy. So again, no, you know, like I'm very conscious of how hard it is to live in London. I don't have a family background to support me. So I always knew I would have to, you know, do that. So I, you know, like children kind of dialed that down a bit for me.
Mm.
And I'd probably have high blood pressure right now or even higher blood pressure without them. And I think this is a bit philosophical, but like we live in a capitalist society, right, where we have to prioritize certain things in order to participate in it, and which links back to what I was doing before children. Like that's people burn out, you know, that people burn out. I'd have gone to Edinburgh every year, you know. Now I could happily never go back to Edinburgh again, but if I didn't have children, I wouldn't have that perspective. You know, I'd be spending thousands and thousands of pounds, the hours you put in, the outcomes and what you get, the return you get on that probably doesn't match the input. There were so many endeavors that I would have engaged in if I didn't have children that would have probably killed me, but would have probably like stressed me out. But now I'm like teaching phonics. Oh, that's the, you know, fuck, I can do that. You know what I mean? That's like, that's way easier than writing a different show. Like way easier, you know? So
do you think, I mean, stuff like, you know, in the corporate world, you'd say that you're working smarter. And is it the thing of like actually that you're choosing what you're putting your attention on, and so actually the fact that you've only got this much attention, but you've got your work and you've got your social life and you've got your kids and extended family and blah blah blah, blah, that actually doing Edinburgh every year is you don't have the attention, you can't afford the attention, and so it just makes you work smarter and prioritize and just have it feels like a richer tapestry of life or whatever. Cheesy.
Yeah, so. I mean that's very Mackenzian, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's that's, and I think anything can give you that perspective. It doesn't have to, please don't get knocked up to get perspective. There are easier ways to get perspective. How about now I think on it. But that's certainly the value that they have. That's how I kind of approach parenting and it is different, I think, being a creative and being a freelancer.
Well, but that's what I'm going to say. You know, we're talking from the point of view of all of us creatives, and that is a big difference, isn't it? I was just thinking.
Massively, yeah.
I was also thinking this week, we'll keep going on with this, but it that thing of how important aunties are, right? Bear with me. I don't know, because I know Gemma, you're an auntie. Are you an auntie as well, Athena?
Have you got... my niece and nephew, we live in Melbourne.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Long distance, auntie.
Yeah, but yeah, we stay come over and it's always fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I was an auntie before, you know, I was a mom for a long, long time. And I think I was quite a cool auntie and gave them a lot of time. And I do feel bad that now I can't give them that time that I did when I didn't have my kids. But I mean, my kids are little and they're all grown up now. So it's fine. They had a lot of me when I was younger. But we've had my sister-in-law down and we were over the park and my son went up to her and went, "Auntie Fran, you've got to come and see this," and took her over to something. And it was a part of me was like, why have they not got me? Anyway, it turned out there was some bear scratches on the trees, of course. So, you know, they had to go hunting for bears. But it was that thing of like, it's you have to let things go a little bit, don't you? Because that's the special relationship that they have. And I probably did the same with my nieces and nephews. And that's what's so special about aunties. And I know there are some people that's the role, the only role that they want. But how important that role is, because that might be someone that they'll confide in that they wouldn't say to their mum or dad. And, you know, I mean, I don't know whether we've talked to you before, Athena, about, you know, the whole should you be best friends with your kid thing. But I think that's something we've not really talked about on the podcast, but so I think it comes back to that idea. What do you think?
Yeah, my kids have an uncle in this country, my older brother, and he doesn't have kids, and he doesn't want kids, so he fully embraces my two children. You know, which is lovely, and I think I didn't have a big extended family when I was growing up, so. I think extended family and those relationships are really important just for socialization of children, you know, and also like we're not perfect as parents and it's really important that children learn that very early on so they can learn how to evolve. Otherwise we don't evolve as a society if we think our parents are perfect. That's how we become better people. And the way they can find out how bad we are is that comparison, right? So having older people in their lives that are tasked with looking after them as well as me. Obviously, me and my partner have the primary responsibility, but you know, they get to spend time with my brother, and he has a different way of doing things, and my mum has a different way of doing things, and they can just start to process the diversity of thought. And also they learn critical thought from that as well, because you know, one auntie might let them do something that another auntie won't, and an uncle might let them do something that another person won't. And it just, I think it all enriches their all those neural pathways. So having other adult influences and that are responsible in your children's life, I think it's really important. And I didn't really have that growing up as a child, so I sort of embraced that. And it's regretful that my twin brother had a baby on the same day as me, so they're twin cousins.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know if I told you that. So you know, it's kind of sad that the twin cousins don't live in the same city. It's also really lovely when they meet up, and you know, they all, you know, it's. So we WhatsApp, we do video calls, it's all good. But aunties, like, so my friendship group, you know, it's always you're an auntie or an uncle regardless if I'm related to you or not. You know, my kids, you know, when my friends come around, it's the aunties are coming around, the uncle. In fact, we just spent yesterday with auntie and uncle, so that's something that's quite important too. I really, whoever wants, if you know me and I trust you and you want to be involved in my kids' life, come on in. Do you know what I mean? There's plenty of space for that influence. So, and I think it's great, because we're going to talk about class a little bit. And it's like, I have like I'm so privileged to have an amazing network of friends. You know, if my daughter wants to join a circus, guess what? I've got a friend who runs a circus company. Do you know what I mean? If my daughter wants to be a novelist, guess what? I've got friends who are writers. Do you know what I mean? So part of me is like being auntie. Part of me is like, get my child involved in this shit, you know? That's such a it's such an important part of giving your children opportunity. So I would if I know you and I trust you and my friend and you're happy to be involved, like we'll always spend time with you. And it's so much fun. Kids are so much fun. They'll trash your house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're so much fun. So I think the role of aunties and uncles and extended family and friends is so important.
Gemma, do you still consider yourself a good auntie even though you're a mum yourself now?
Yeah. I mean, like you. So I was an auntie for quite a long time before I became a mum. And yeah. So I used to see my nieces and nephews all the time. And yeah, I'm a bit like, oh, isn't it a shame that I'm not as, available as I was. But also, they're all grown up, and I'm an old lady, and they're teenagers. You know what I mean? It's just like. It's yeah, I've got one of them coming to do work experience with me actually for a couple of weeks.
Oh, see, that's
So yeah.
now. Some of my nephews are like quite close in age to me because of my mum having me late and my sisters being older, blah, blah, blah. And all my friends know the horrifying story of me getting off with one of my nephew's friends. This was years ago, can I just say? My nephew is only 4 or 5 years younger than me. Okay.
Yeah. I get that. I
Oh
get that.
God.
I luckily made that assumption in my head that you must be close in age.
We could, well, because now it's a joke because he's now actually older than my husband. Because my husband is my toy boy. So, God,
Yeah.
I sound awful, don't I? Which brings me I really want to touch on this class thing because it's something that you talk about class a lot in your stand-up, Athena, and I've started to talk about it a little bit recently, but more from the point of view of my husband being I guess what's classed as middle class, however you're meant to class that. But I do stuff about how he's middle class, but he's middle class poor. And but then so we have come together with very different classes of background, whatever that be. But in short, for me, it's like he went on holidays walking around old castles or, memberships in National Trust, whereas I went to Margate for the day. That was it. My mum was a cleaner, his mum was a teacher. What about you and your partner, Athena? Are you, I mean, I hate using the class thing because it's, I just think it doesn't really exist anymore. But what's your backgrounds and
I mean, like me and my partner have really similar backgrounds. We're both working class, both come from families that on paper, if you look at our incomes, working class. His mum was a teacher and mine was a dinner lady. So maybe, but I grew up in a more middle class area. So what
well,
he
okay.
so I'm from East Finchley,
Yeah.
and he's from Broccoli, which back in his day wasn't the
I
Broccoli it
mean,
is now.
now you've got to be a millionaire to live in Broccoli.
His mum still lives on the estate he's from, and but we're both kind of like all that. We represent that kind of upwards mobility. So he's a lawyer. Before I became a comedian and a writer, I was a project manager in various different fields. And I would describe myself as middle class, but I think in this country, and this is kind of where my comedy comes from. Class isn't what you have; it's sort of who you are, or who your parents were specifically. And no amount of money is going to stop people. Is going to give you access to certain things that only certain people have access to. And I
Right.
find that really fascinating because that's probably the reason why a lot of people go to America in the creative industries, because it's like, well, you can go to America with talent and money and you will immediately operate in those high echelons of society. But if you've got talent and money here, the police will still bash your door in if you think they think you shouldn't be in the area you live in, right? Which is what happened to Stormzy, incidentally. Or there's a story about Dawn Butler getting ID'd in part as the parliament because they thought she was a cleaner. And stuff like that, and it's like, so there's no amount of money or achievement that will make people see you any differently to the class you come from, which I think is fascinating because it's such a restrictive thing on society and it holds us back in all kinds of ways. But yeah, we're working class, but I'm middle class now. I don't care that my mum was a dinner lady. My children are having a very middle class upbringing. They live in a house with a garden, and like I said, they've got professional childcare, and they are the values we have are what you would call middle class, I guess.
And
And
how
I, the sorry.
does that make you feel? Because that's what we're sort of
Absolutely great.
I sort of battle
Fine.
with it a bit.
I don't battle with it at all. And why should I? You know, like, what I battle with is that other people now probably don't have the opportunities that I had to get to this state. For example, I got through to this point through a university education and having extra education on top of that. And now university costs 50 grand. You know, that's unacceptable to me. I got to this point because there were opportunities in employment, and now we have the, like, this AI situation going on, which means the things that I probably did to get onto the ladder, those jobs won't exist in 5 or 10 years time. And just generally aspirationally, like, I, you know, it does have a racial perspective. Like, we keep encouraging our young Black people to be footballers and entertainers, and it's like, but yet we still say, why aren't there Black judges, why aren't there Black academics? It's like, well, where is the pathway to these, to these things? Like, and as a middle class person, I can give my children those ambitions if they choose to have them. But how many parents are being empowered in that way? For example, so I celebrate the fact that I got here and that I have this disposable income that I can invest into my kids and all that stuff, but and their education and whatever. But at the same time, the issue now is where is the pathway for everyone else and the next generation and all the people my age now who still want to do that journey.
I know. I was part of probably one of the last of being able to go to university through my mum being single parent. So we got, I got free fees and stuff, but I don't think they do that anymore. But yeah, I mean, I guess battle is maybe the wrong word. I shouldn't have used that word, but it's just that sort of trying to get that, like you say, like, I feel like, I'm working class core. I probably live, I don't know what I live at the moment.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Stop that. That is a trick. The class system embeds this idea of deserving and undeserving. So you might be like, I don't deserve this fucking olive oil, or I don't deserve to eat chickpeas. Chickpeas is the most working class shit you can ever have. Hummus is working class. What middle class people do and what upper class people do is they, and they do it subconsciously, maybe they do it consciously, but they stick labels on things to make Marx are called the proletariat, but really working class people. They people think, oh, that's not for me. I want to be a doctor, but that's not for me. You know what I mean? I want to be a teacher. That's not for me. You know, I want to eat this good, healthy home cooked food. Oh, that's not for me. It is for all of us. And that is what, and that's this, that, that system is what we have here. And no other country really has it. You don't really get a country where you have a population of working class people going, there's all this nice stuff, but it's not for me. It's all fucking for you. It's for you, right? Yeah. But what's happening is people are A, denying you the opportunity to get it, or they're B, claiming it as their own. Okay. And that goes, and it's all kinds of things. It's food, it's education, it's professions, it's whatever. I started thinking about this because of the Nepo baby conversation that's generally always happening in our comedy community and in the creative community. Yeah. This idea that children of established parents are getting opportunities above people who don't have established parents. Okay. Yeah. Fundamentally unfair. Of course it is. It gives you an advantage over people who don't have that. But I promise you now, my children are going to be Nepo babies, okay? They're going to be fucking Nepo. Like, why would I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not fair. So I'm not going to introduce you to all my well-connected friends. I'm sorry. It's not fair. I'm not going to give you the advice that I have in my brain if you want to follow the same. Of course I'm going to do this for my children. If they want to achieve in the field that I'm in, or if they want to achieve in the field that someone I'm connected to is in, I'm going to give them that. The issue isn't Nepo babies. The issue is always people who don't have that. What is their pathway? And we talk too much about the people who benefit from privilege and not like park it, fine, it's unfair, whatever. What about, what's the pathway if you don't have it? Because what are they supposed to do? Not do those things for those kids? Their kids, they're going to do them. And I think we don't talk enough about that. And I think as a person, like, I have no creative background, I have no money, I don't come from nothing, but I am a very good example of someone who has some kind of career that is unconnected to the places their parents come from. So my thing is, like, how do we replicate it? How do we replicate it for other people? And I find that really fascinating. But that's why I don't like feeling guilty about being middle class. Because if I felt guilty about it, how am I helping the next working class kid who wants to attain a certain financial status in their life and a certain professional status in their life? Does that make sense?
You're listening to the Funny Mummy podcast.
Yay!
Now can I go back?
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyone listening, because we do often get... often get a lot of people that contact me and they're like, love the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, it's always like, I'm a mum that's thinking about doing comedy, which is fair enough. Obviously, they're going to be attracted to this podcast. But yeah, tell them about DMs are open then, because people can send in stuff, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if this is going out, but this is actually the last week of submissions. But yeah, that's a great example. So it's a show that is written by public submission. So anybody, anywhere can just send in material, and it's all read and it's all sifted through, and we record for like an hour. It's a half hour show, and then we edit it into like a half hour show. So basically there's a chance that you might get something broadcast, and you get a credit, and you get a bit of money. And every week I've been doing little writing tips to go with each
they're good
writing week. Oh, thank you.
So you're very good. I've been like
it's all on my Instagram, on my Twitter, just to help people along. And I think what I say to people is like, look, they get hundreds of submissions every week. So if you think about, there's a 100 sketches, and there's more than 100, and about 10 get broadcast.
Mm.
So I think they tend to get about 500 sketches a week, maybe more. You've probably got a 1-2% chance of getting something broadcast. Okay, you probably have a 5% chance of getting it recorded. So the point of the show is not just to get stuff broadcast, but it is to give you an end point, to give you that incentive to write.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I think that's really important. Having that incentive to write is a big part of,
isn't it,
filling up that page with words. And I always say to people, like, if you're writing, you're winning. And if you want to get into comedy as a writer, like, it only works if you write. And it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but you'd be surprised how many people don't write enough. And the for me, the show is about getting people writing. And if you get something broadcast, like, congratulations. But if you've also written and you're happy with what you're written, and guess what, if you write something and you're happy with it and we don't make it, get someone else to make it.
Yeah,
send it to a radio producer that makes a show you like, because they might like to work with you. Send it to an agent, because they might like to work with you. You know, like, it's all about that incentive. But the show, it used to be called News Jack, and it's been relaunched as DMs Are Open. And I got my first credits on News Jack, you know. So again, like, I'm probably quite a good example of, one-liners aren't gonna, you're not gonna make a career because some Nish Kumar read out a one-liner, you know. But at the same time, like, it's so good for your ego, you know, to hear your name read out at the end of an episode and stuff.
And obviously,
it opens a good opportunity. Yeah,
be true to your voice as well. I mean, yeah, going back to the working class, what, you know, if that's your core. we'd like to do an item called Kid Logic. I don't know if you've both got something. And for those not heard the show before, so anything, you know, often we're very quick to moan about our kids, but sometimes they just say the most basic things that you're like, God, that makes so much sense. And sometimes actually I do ask my oldest, and he'll just make things sound so much simpler, and it's like, yeah, a bit of kid logic. So you got any kid logic, Athena?
It's not really logic, but I bought some posh apple juice. It's not posh, it's normal apple juice, but it's cloudy.
Apple juice for everyone.
Apple juice for everyone, right? Because it was on sale, and I gave it to my oldest, and she was like, oh, it's a different colour. And I said, it's because it's cloudy. And she went, oh, it's made from clouds. Yeah, it's made from clouds, man. I was like, let's run with that. That sounds sweet.
That sounds so much better.
It's so fun how you don't see language in the way children see language, you, like, in that really literal way. It happens almost every day. It's lovely. Yeah, I just remembered that.
But Gemma, has Al been empowering any of his wisdom? He often
I mean, it's not his own wisdom, but we had a clear out this weekend, went to the tip and everything, and so we were going through all these boxes of plastic crap and broken stuff, and anyway, so I was just set up, and I was all the way, I was going, it was a bit NLP, I was going, isn't this brilliant, isn't it great, isn't it cleansing, isn't it, you know. And I was telling him about Marie Kondo, as you know, I'm a big fan of. And I was saying, you know, what she does is she thanks these things for serving her, and then chucks it away. So he was actually doing it. He was going,
oh,
just like bits of crap that you get with Happy Meal, whatever. Thank you for being my broken sunglasses, and in the bin they went. It was quite sweet. He really meant it as well.
Oh, that's a good idea. I need to go through our stuff. I'll get them to do that. They'll be into that, my kids, I reckon. Yeah. Then they're quite good actually at throwing stuff away. I think because I was working in the charity shop for a bit, they're like, they understand where it goes, and they're like, yeah. Sometimes they're a bit too ready to get rid of it. And I'm like, you've only just had that.
Yeah, they're not very sentimental children. I think they have individual items they're sentimental about, but generally, most things are like, I'm done with that now.
Well,
what? Like,
is that sentimental?
Yeah.
Like, I'll keep that baby grow. And, well, I do anyway. I've sorted out a box now where I've just done the thing of, so I kept one baby grow of each child. And a few other little bits, you know. I've done that. I feel like Athena, you're quite organised. I don't imagine you're holding on to much. Or am I wrong?
I give away a lot of stuff to charity actually, and some of my friends had babies after me, so I literally, one of my friends came with a car and just left in a suspension because I just said I'll take it all. But I tend to give. I have a load of stuff. Don't get me wrong, I have a load of stuff, but I've given away a fair bit. But we have a load of stuff. I feel sentimental about some things, but generally, so much of my stuff is secondhand as well. I got a lot of secondhand stuff for my kids, so that helps with the sentimentality. I'm such a believer in getting secondhand stuff for your kids. And it's all new. Get something off of a 1 year old, guess what, it's that thing is 1 year old, if not younger. So I was very lucky to obtain stuff from my friends and go, and I went charity shops and got a good haul from
pre-loved
vintage.
The only thing I had, I was like, the only thing I want new is my pram. I was like, I don't want a pram that Will might fall off. Also, yeah. But everything else was secondhand. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna wrap up. My camera's frozen. I'm still here. So, thank you. Is there anything you'd like to? What are you up to at the moment? Are you touring? You're not touring, are you? No.
No, I'm not well known enough to tour. No one's gonna buy tickets. But I'm going. I don't know when this is going out, but obviously DMs are open. Is being broadcast now. So every week.
This is gonna go out in June, so we may just miss it. But
You may. If not, it's all gonna be on BBC Sounds because it's not topical. Hopefully, the jokes will still be funny. Perennial jokes, so that'll be great. And it's, the writing's been so good this year, I think, because it's not topical, so we don't have to, no more jokes at Boris Johnson. Do you know what I mean? It's such a relief.
Hard
because it's just, the status quo is just so miserable. I have nothing more to say. I've run out, there's nothing more to say. So yeah, DMs are open. Is if it's not being broadcast, is on BBC Sounds. I have my podcast that I started with my friend, Why Does My Child Hate Me? Season one is out now, and it's all done, season one. So that's there. And just on my socials, my random gigs, that aren't tour gigs, but random gigs on my socials.
And we'll let you get back to resealing your bathroom.
No, I've done it. About 4 months I've put off that job. I'm so happy to have done it. Oh.
So what, when you say, right, round the corners of the bath?
No, this is actually the bottom of the bath, because my son has been kicking it. He loves to kick it. And it's so just, done. And also the other thing he likes to do is throw bath water out of the bath, right?
Yeah.
So you can imagine how moldy and wet it's got. So I just gave it a good bleach, gave it a good dry, and it's looking very nice. And I'm so I can't tell you how I've done it. You know, you got a job, and I told my partner to take sealant gun out of the attic like 4 months ago, and it's just been staring at me. And I just feel terrible. I felt terrible for not you, because that's the one DIY job he doesn't like to do. So that's my one job, and I've been putting it off. So I'm so glad I've done it.
Well, that's it. You can just give up for the rest of the day.
Yeah, put feet up. Yeah.
You've inspired me. I need to sort my bathroom's awful for that. It must be that same reason, is it? They splash water and it all goes moldy.
Oh god, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Athena. Thank you, Gemma. Thank you to you listening. Do keep listening and subscribing. And we'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. Thank you to my co-host today, my guest, and today's show is edited by Scott Kingsnorth. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this show. If you'd like to support it more, I know you can do even more. You can follow us on Instagram at funnymummies_podcast, and that'll tell you all the updates. You can also support us by buying us a coffee or something on one of these fangled things called Ko-Fi. I'll give you the whole address. It's ko-fi.com/PattyAshdown_funnymummiespod. Got that? Thank you for listening, subscribing, and taking the time for you.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!